I love that part because, man, being raised in all the denominations we were raised in, my dad being a pastor since 1970, you see everything from our little Baptist churches to the other churches that we're a part of growing up, even to the non-denominational churches or cowboy churches or whatever. It was always funny because I always liked people clapping during tithes and offerings because they didn't do that in most churches we grew up in. Matter of fact, you said anything about money and there might be a split. And being a cowboy, I never understood that because I had a rodeo scholarship in college. I had a music scholarship. I had a Pell Grant. I had a student loan. I worked. I'd do anything just to make it. Most everybody knows that my mom and dad, and by the way, I'm looking for one. But my mom and dad, all they could afford at that particular time, taking three boys to college, and I was the last one, car-wise, and I got it my senior year of high school, a 1978 Lincoln Town Car. Let me say that again. Now, I'm a boy, a man, a cowboy, and all mom and dad would buy me, and they paid $1,000 for it, was a 1978 Lincoln Town Car. It was white, had half the back tires covered up with the little fender. Mom and dad bought it from a rancher friend of ours. The grandma owned the car and would pull the one horse trailer with it. So they thought that was good enough for me when all my other friends had trucks, you see. But you know what? It worked. I fit 17 people in it one time. I seriously did. I said, let's see how many we can fit in there. We laid people on top of each other. 17. The back seat was huge. You could put a horse in there. But listen to me. Growing up, I never understood why the church never talked about finances, ever. Why? We worked for hours and hours and hours to try to make the stuff. And here, because of some evangelist on TV or whatever, it's ruined people's thinking. Well, that's all they want is our good old hard-earned money. That's a lie. Actually, God's wanting to try to get it to you. But he cannot get it to you unless he can get it through you. It's a principle that he started in Genesis all the way through. You can find out how he started a principle called sowing and reaping. Say it with me. Sowing, and then, so when you sow, that's the start of the principle. But don't forget the last part, reaping, because God wants to bring it to you. That's why Luke's gospel says, if you give, 6:38, it'll be given unto you with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and it'll cause men, running over, it'll cause men to give unto you. Amen. With whatever measure, the Bible says measure, but what that means is whatever attitude you give it in, that's how you'll receive it back. Now, that's not just talking about finances, but since we're talking about finances, it talks about that as well. That's what it means. If you give to the Lord, if you give love to people, if you sow into people's lives, I'm telling you, it'll come back. Now, that's good and bad, because if you're hateful to people, that's what you're going to get in return. That's what you reap. But man, when we just give to God, and in this instance, we're given finances. That's how a church keeps going. I don't take a salary, new people. That's the greatest thing that I can then stand up and teach, is I don't take a salary. I only take what people give us. If you get mad at me, then you can just say, oh, I ain't giving that dang preacher nothing. He stepped on my toes today. But that's okay, because what it's teaching is I, by faith, have to trust God. And I'm gonna trust him. He's a great father. He's an El Shaddai. Amen. He's got more than enough. And I can promise you he'll put it on the hearts of people to sow into the ministry somehow, into our lives. But as well as this church, we're gonna build it debt free. The scripture that I had was a simple one that everybody knows. John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he what? Say it louder. That he what? He gave his only begotten son. Okay, that's a principle. He gave his son so that what? The reaping could be harvests of souls. I mean, the heir, when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that. Everything that he has is yours. But most people don't see that. And we're going to talk about that in a message today. But anyway, there's a bucket and there's a bucket. If you're new and you filled out that card, if you don't mind, when we come on down and give to the Lord, send that card with someone or bring it and just put it in these buckets. Would y'all do that? Come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Get up here, girl. Would y'all?
I need three people. Oh, wait a minute.
Is that on?
I need a microphone on.
There it is.
Now. We had an awesome Bible study this week. And I'll tell you what, it's talking about being restored and not to fear. When the Lord restores you, don't go back and speak the old stuff. Don't go back and speak your fears. And even if it comes to mind, don't say it. Just say Jesus. Just speak the word. Just say Jesus. Don't ever let that fear come back on you, because when you've been restored, you've been restored. And this song I'm singing this morning is Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Y'all just worshiping with me this morning. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, yes. Love so amazing. Y'all sing with me. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, ransom from hell. And poor. blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel.
God bless you. Yeah. Give her another round, would you? Woo, man. Mm. Very seldom, well, I say, probably '97, maybe. I started feeling this overwhelmness. I have it right now, and I don't know why. I told him in 1997 when the Spirit of God would come on me in this Bible study. It was in Canyon, Texas. And I was like, I don't know why I'm crying. Nothing's wrong. And I feel that today. And it's going to fit this service. So with a big round of applause, I want to dismiss kids, and I want to dismiss our awesome youth group. Amen? Give it to them. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. And I started sensing the Spirit of God really wanting to do something in my office when I was praying. And it's hard to explain. It's just like an easy uneasiness that, you know, I sit over there and I wanna discern. I wanna hear what God says. Being very apostolic, you know, that I believe I am, you can have all five of the folds on you, meaning this is in Ephesians, where God called some to be the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, the apostle, and the evangelist, those five. And there'll be times when, as y'all know, the evangelist anointing is usually on me in this church. That's why you see a lot of people get saved here. A lot. You don't see that in a lot of churches. Matter of fact, people search us out just because we give a salvation plan. Amazing what God does just to get people here and get them born again. And then a lot of times they'll roll on to wherever they live, saved, because they've been going to a church maybe. Nothing wrong with it. That it's just more mentor-minded and discipleship-minded. I believe in all that. But I figured that unless someone gets saved, you can't disciple them. Say amen to that. Now, they got to be born again first. And so, when this happens, I'm just going to let God do whatever he wants to.
Amen.
Instead of trying to control and have a message that's, organized and set, which very seldom that I do anyway. There's times when I walk in that door that he'll change my message because he knows who's here and what the flock needs. And so I want to be submissive to the Spirit of God and let him do whatever he wants to in this place. Would you agree to that? In other words, let's not just have another religious service. Same old thing. We come here and we hear some good music and we listen to some message and then we leave. I believe those days are over. Because just turn on the news and you'll see some wild stuff going on. That we need to know what to do. I believe that God has given me a mandate that I'm going to carry on until he comes back to get us all or until I leave this earth to get at least you guys and now everybody that's listening live on the internet to get you ready and prepared for the last days. And as you know, if you've been here, I know the last couple of weeks I've been gone. I ministered two Sundays in a row at the professional rodeo in San Angelo. Saw several get saved, thank God. Say amen to that. That's why I go to get people born again. And that's why a lot of times I'll leave in the summer, not just to get built back up and things like that, but I'm there to minister. And I know my job. And so I want to see people be prepared, get ready for the return of Jesus. Y'all know that's happening, right? I mean, how many of you believe in the Bible? Well, let me ask it this way. How many of you don't believe the Bible? You're not going to get anybody to raise their hand, right? I'll never forget. I told y'all this before. Oh, man. I ministered at a church that went through about 20 pastors, in a span of about 5 or 6 years, 20. And then they asked me to come. They knew that I wasn't going to come to pastor, but they just wanted me to minister one time. And man, I give it to them. I grabbed this little cowboy Bible and I said, "How many of you believe in healing?" There's probably some of you that don't. And if you don't, not a problem. Because we'll just take that part of it out of the Bible. And I ripped pages out and threw it on the floor. I'm talking, I almost got killed right then. People like, "Oh, he just tore pages out of the Holy Bible." I said, no, all you people that don't believe in forgiveness and you just hold that odd against somebody, not a problem. We're going to take that part out of the Bible, and I ripped it out. And all y'all that don't believe in giving, that tithe and offering stuff, not a problem. Let's just tear that part out of the Bible. And I threw it on the floor. Oh, yeah. And that baptism of the Holy Ghost, that tongue stuff, Mitsubishi, Kawasaki, Hyundai. What is all that stuff? If you don't believe in that, since Jesus spoke in tongues, not a problem. Let's rip that part out. And by the end of my little quick message, all we had was the cover. But yet, that's all some people believe. They believe in a form of godliness, but they deny the power, see. And I'm here to tell you there's power. So as a pastor, then my job is to get this church, and obviously since we serve the same Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, there's not several of them, there's one Holy Spirit. Then obviously you'll notice when you turn on TV or you listen to another preacher that they're preaching the same thing almost in just maybe a different way. Because I believe that since we're in the last days, and I've been talking about the last days, and I'm pretty much done with talking about some of the signs of the times, although we need to be looking up because our redemption draws nigh. Amen. And I realize there's a lot of signs and things that are happening that show us that Jesus could return today. I looked at clouds. That's what I look at. Anytime I see cloud coverage, I'm like, okay, it could be today. But yet, if there wasn't clouds, then God could cause clouds to come. And because the Bible says that in these last days, Jesus will appear and he'll come in the clouds and separate them and then call up the dead in Christ and call all of us up that are serving him, the elect, to meet him in the air. And so I'm trying to get people ready for that. Now, do you change what you're doing? You know, where you stay in your home and just wait for Jesus to return? Not really do anything? Of course not. No, we have to live by faith. And by the way, you're going to live by faith in heaven. So you better get used to living by faith here. How many Catholics do I have in here that's raised Catholic? Let me see your hand. A whole lot, a bunch of you. Because y'all know the point I always try to bring across is that awesome prayer that Jesus taught us that the Catholics confess constantly. I traveled with a guy that they're Catholic, but they're born again. And so just strong. Usually when Catholics, when they give their lives to Jesus, they're stout. Because, man, they're so used to serving him. And he knew this prayer, obviously, Our Father. Say it with me. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And so Jesus is trying to get us to prepare for something. Thy kingdom come. And then he talks about his will. Thy will be done. So, I mean, he sent Jesus so that he can get some stuff done here. His will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Then he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread, and so on. Forgiveness. He talks about forgiveness in that great prayer. Well, he wants us to have heaven things here on earth. We just realize that there's sin that's here as well. Because of Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, that caused that nature of sin to come. But thank God you and I don't have to participate in that, right? Now, I say that because I didn't get everybody to say amen right there. Let me try it one more time. Since there is a nature of sin that is here on this earth because of Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, brought in that nature, right? You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, do not have to participate in that nature. A lot better. Although we can participate in it because sin's everywhere, it abounds. But since Jesus died and was crucified and raised from the dead, his grace abounds much more than the sin. And that's all found when you study Romans. When you start studying Romans, woo-wee. I mean, that's a good part of the Bible to help us know that we can be justified by faith. That's Romans 5 and 1. When you're that justification literally means that you and I as Christians, not making mistakes, not falling into sin or whatever. I'm talking about when you give your life to Jesus, we're justified, we're forgiven, we're declared righteous, we're acquitted. That word justification literally means. Amen. And we can say no to sin as easy as we can say yes to it. That's right. Amen. And so, I want us to get prepared and ready just to understand that Jesus is going to come back. When? I don't know. I still think it's funny how some preachers think they know when Jesus is going to come back. Y'all remember that story, my grandmama? 1988 reasons, that book, why Jesus is coming back in 1988. She maxed out her credit card. She said, he's coming back this year. I don't have to pay it back until 1989 came. I'll never forget that. Mama, what are you doing? Have you not read this book? 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. And so she maxed out everything. Oh man, her husband was mad. 1989. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, everybody watching and listening to us live, it's an honor to have you. I want to minister to you as well as these great folks here. Realize some people can't come to church, so you can get on your iPhone or whatever and you can start seeing us live. And I know we're young and we don't have three cameras, but as God provides, then we'll buy another camera and we'll start where you don't see side profiles. You know, we'll just grow from it. But it's an honor that we can all actually now see this service live, no matter where you're at, all over the world, just by going to wccowboychurch.org. And so I want you to turn in your Bible again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, the reason I'm setting this message up, not knowing really what God might do in this place, because honestly, I believe that you don't have to come up to the front to get healed. You can get it right where you're at. I remember singing in California one time, and after the service, a man came up to me and said he was healed of gout while I was singing a song. I said, praise God. You know, because a lot of people think you got to bring the elders down and pull out the, you know, oil and slap oil all over them and anoint them, and that's the only way we can receive healing. Well, how many of you know that, man, you can receive it at the horse stall wherever you live? You can receive healing at your work. All you got to do is tap in to the power, you see. I want to minister this message because the Lord gave it to me, and I preached a little bit of it at San Angelo, but I believe that it really needs to be delivered right here for all of us. And so let's just begin to read verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power and of the power and of power. Amen. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God. Oh man, that says a lot right there. Because a lot of times, since we don't really sometimes understand the Word of God, can come and hear some great public speaking. I mean, some of you that are running for office, the judge and Bart and all the people that, you know, one running for judge, one running for the, you know, the county. I mean, you can stand up there and give some enticing words and make it sound wonderful. Or you can get the power of God on your behalf. Because what I say is not going to mean anything to you when you're believing God for healing. You've got to tap into the power of God, man. I mean, that power that no devil can cause to you not to receive it. I can say that the Bible says by the stripes of Jesus you're healed? But if you don't receive it, it means absolutely nothing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
There is in the church not a lot really happening today. I think it's primarily because, you know, well, it didn't happen for, you know, sister so-and-so, and she didn't receive her healing, and so maybe God doesn't heal everybody. And before you know it, there's a little bit of doubt and a little bit of fear and a little bit of unbelief mixed in with people's faith. And as you know, faith and fear is opposite. So you cannot live in faith if you're living in fear in some area. And you really, you can't live in and fear and try to have faith, because faith overrides fear. So what people are believing for, whatever it is going to take some power, and not just a man saying, no, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Now, I'm not saying that that's not important to confess the word till you believe it. But if you don't tap into the power, then nothing's really going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I want to receive the power. I want to see it demonstrated, man. I want to start seeing people healed at church. Now, in this church, you see it all the time. You know why? Because we believe. We believe it. We believe the Bible. Not some man standing up here with enticing words, because I use a lot of, in all my English teachers will tell you, some of the sentence structures and all the ain'ts and all that, no bueno por nada. But the power behind those words mean everything that come out of a believer's mouth, even you, see. So I want to receive that power, man. I don't want to just hear some man talk about the word of God. I want to see it demonstrated. In Mexico, way down deep, you're still seeing people raised from the dead today. You don't see that anymore in the church. They're still casting out devils. I mean, you need to see that a whole lot more in church. Now, a born-again person is not possessed by the devil, but they may be oppressed. I mean, there might be some control. Possession literally means that someone is worshiping him. They call him Lord. Not a believer. A believer can't do that, according to the word. A believer can only give their lives to the Lord Jesus or not. I mean, they can give their lives, just a human can give their lives to the enemy, but they'll have to do what they did to get born again. They'll have to deny Jesus and all his works and receive Satan as Lord, I guess. But you can't have both, in other words. When your spirit is born again, though, then Jesus is Lord. Your spirit's born again. Now, then, you get into the flesh, and man, your old flesh and your mind, your soulless realm, your mind, will, and emotions, man, it can come under attack. Jesus. And a lot of times that's called oppression. And you can be dabbling into junk that you need to get delivered from, you see. And maybe that's what needs to happen in the church today, is a whole lot more deliverance. You know, people deal with a whole lot of stuff. There might be people in here that has anger issues that you need to get delivered from. I mean, you need to give it up and then not care who knows about it. Maybe there's some control issues in this place that have dabbled into your life for whatever reason, and you need to get delivered from that. I mean, there might be the oppression of things that are on even believers of Jesus Christ. Man, they may need to get rid of, you know, you may need to get rid of that so that you can get set free to be able to understand the demonstration power of God in your life. And so I don't know if that's where God might take us. If it is, we're going to let him. Amen. With man's wisdom,
A lot of doubt, a lot of unbelief and fear can come in. Doubt, I wrote down, is people saying things, you know, according to the Word of God. Well, will it really happen? I mean, there's a lot of people that is probably wondering, is Jesus really going to come back? I mean, I know the Bible says it, but it hasn't happened. And the preacher's been saying it's going to happen for hundreds of years. But is it really going to happen? You know what that is? Doubt. Don't let that come into your mind. And then unbelief. Unbelieving things is people that actually need proof. Man, you see that all the time. I was watching this little snippet on a video of a man of God talking to atheists. And I mean, the way he delivered it, it might have even been on Facebook, it was incredible. Because he just began to ask them a few questions. Things like, do you believe in the existence of humans happening from nothing? I mean, how can anybody in their right mind think that something can happen from nothing? So you're really believing in nothing? And most of them go, no, I don't. I believe that something had to make that happen. But an atheist don't believe in God. And they might even believe in a Big Bang that created us. Or they might believe in an evolution starting from some cell that, you know, evolved to a human being. And all you got to do to an atheist is have them go back, well, what started the cell to start evolving into something? Could it be God Almighty? I always figure, and that never made sense to me about evolution, because I figured if we evolved from this little organism cell and then into an ape, and ape finally got to a human, why aren't there's things still evolving, like half humans? Things like that. I mean, it makes sense, but what does make sense is a God that created the heavens and the earth. So what happens is a little doubt and unbelief comes in because you want to have something proved before you believe it. That is not faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So we've got to believe before we see things. You see, I believe in God, but I can't see him. Does anybody see God? I'm talking in the flesh. How about Jesus? In the flesh? Now, people saw Jesus for 33 and a half years, right? But now by faith, we have to believe that he was crucified, raised from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father, right? Because I can't see Jesus any longer. We have to, right, Heidi? We got to believe, though, that he is seated at God's right hand praying for you and I, right? Interceding. We got to believe that when he took those stripes, that beating of the cat of nine tails, we've got to believe what that actually represented. Every disease known to man, that were healed by those stripes and so on. And then there's fear. That word fear. Really, truly believing takes faith to step out, but fear is what then steps in if you're not careful. I mean, I like Matthew 19 and 26 that Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we need to talk about this word power that he's talking about here in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That word power, real fast, it's a Greek word that is called dunamis power. And let me tell you about dunamis power of God. Oh man, listen to this. Dunamis power is the very same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That's that word power. You and I as believers in Jesus Christ have dunamis power on the inside of us. The very same power again that raised Jesus from the dead, you have that power. Not Superman power or Batman power, but the power that Jesus, I mean, that's why we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, because that power, it belongs to us. And we can use that power to raise the dead, cast out devils and those kind of things. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But most people don't believe that they're worthy of that kind of power. And I'm not talking about having, you know, power where you're prideful and you're, you know, super self-righteous, better than everybody. No, I'm just talking about the power of God that is full of humility, but allows us to say, devil, get thee behind me. See, that's the power that this is talking about, where you can take authority over every trial, over every tribulation that you might be going through. Because you don't need just some man saying, oh, brother, count it all joy. You've got the joy of the Lord when you're going through a hell in your life. An attack like you've never seen. And I can promise you every single person in this room and watching has gone through something that they needed the power of God to get them through. Amen. If not, you commit suicide. Because you don't know the power. That true power, that dunamis power of God. That word dunamis, it's an incredible word because it literally means the mighty power of God. It's translated tremendous power, or God's supernatural power, explosive, mighty, and awe, inspiring to those who see it and experience it. And I'm sure if I started testimonies right now, that we could have some testimonies of someone experiencing that awe, that mighty supernatural power of God in this place. Well, see, we need to start receiving and experiencing that and seeing the demonstration of it constantly in these last days. Not just, oh, God, help me, sir. I'm going through a bad time. Are you way up there? Come on down, sir, and help this maneth of Godeth that is going through it a lot of timeth and troubleth in this earth. Because that's really what we feel like we got to do. Jesus, I know you're way up there. Dost thou hearest my voiceth? Because a lot of religious people, they put the these, thous, and thuses at the end of their words, you know. And you normally don't talk like that. I always say, when you talk to God, just talk how you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. Just talk to him. Father, I need you. Sir, you know what I'm going through. I need some help. And really, the Bible teaches us that God's here. Amen. Matter of fact, the word says, and we pray it at the end of our services every day, every service, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. So God is not so far up there where we got to yell for him to hear us. All you got to do is just speak. God, I need you. I need you, sir. I need some wisdom. And then God says, what'd you say? Sir, I need wisdom. That's James 1. He's like, good boy. Good son. Because I said, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. You need some wisdom? Yes, sir, I need some wisdom, sir. I need to know what direction does this church need to go in? Do we just want to make it big where, you know, 1,000 people we can fit in this church? Do we just want it big, sir, where just 1,000 people are, and let's not ruffle any feathers? Let's not offend anyone, make them upset. He said, well, if you want to do that, stop talking about money and healing and all that stuff. Because the word of God offends people. Unless you get your heart right and just receive it by faith. No, what God's actually saying is, if you want this church to be big and have a lot of people in it, preach the word of God. And don't get away from that. I'm not saying we've not mess up or, you know. I had a news, as a owner of a newspaper, he called me one day and said, "You got to hear this." I didn't know the man. He said, "You did a service in just to the Plainview, Texas. Anybody know where that's at? Plainview." And we just was there. They asked us to come in one day, and so I came and preached and was out of here. And me and another friend. And he gets this letter that he wanted to put in the newspaper about these two little cowboy preachers that came to town. And one of them, while he was preaching, said the word dadgummit. I wonder who that was. Now, dadgummit, let's preach the word of God. Amen. And since he used the word dadgummit, it sounded like he was worshiping a Babylonian god. And then he went through all this, and of course the newspaper owner was laughing. But you'll be amazed the attacks you can come under. I remember preaching on horseback, and there were, I gave a salvation plan after ministering, and they were all tons of people, Las Vegas, New Mexico. And I just said, if you just gave your life to Jesus, come and surround me. I'm telling you, there was hundreds. And I'm preaching and having to have an interpreter in Spanish. Remember that? Been a long time ago. And boy, they surrounded me. I mean, people gave their lives to Jesus, and they were so happy that they got born again, because they had never heard that. They never heard that Jesus saves. They never heard Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I'm saying this to an interpreter. And I said, saved from what? He said, saved from what in Spanish? I said, well, saved from hell. And I'm talking about old and young. And boy, they come around me. Well, then we had a roping, team roping. So many of them got saved, but one man came and scolded me. He said, "How dare you?" I said, "What'd you say?" Because you know me, I'm a cowboy, right? And I know how to ask for forgiveness. Did y'all get that? I said, "What'd you say to me?" He said, "How dare you?" How dare I what? And I was like, what's wrong? He said, all those people that gave their lives to Jesus, none of them did. I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because they wasn't baptized." Y'all know where that came from, right? I looked at him and I said, "Well, one thing about it is I'll never judge a man's heart. If they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, their spirit was born again." Now, the first act of obedience is salvation. And y'all that haven't ever been baptized, you need to. You need to. That's the very first act of obedience, is the death, burial, and when you come out of that water, the resurrection of your life in Christ Jesus. See? And you need to get baptized. That's why we baptize here. Warm water, hopefully. I baptized someone the other day in a bathtub, in a river, in Casper, Wyoming. I'm telling you, it was cold water. Why'd you make me do this, girl? But this girl's made the national finals now that I baptized. Matter of fact, broke the arena record at the national finals last year in the barrel racing. She didn't care. She just gave her life to Jesus. She's won three rounds at San Antonio right now. All three. The only girl that's ever been under 14 so far. 13 second runs. Man, I baptized her in the river in Casper, Wyoming. And I'm telling you, it made an Episcopalian shout and a Baptist speak in tongues. It was so cold. What time is it? Whoa, Jesus. Okay. Man. All right, listen real fast. Son, Buck, that's a good message too. That's the minister's conference tomorrow. Where am I at? Okay, so really, real fast. I want to give you three things, and I'll do it quickly, that'll help you experience the power of God. You ready? And be honest. How many of you want to receive the power of God and want to see it demonstrated in your life? In other words, when you pray, you want to see the power of God work. Not a goofy, crazy, you know, thing that sometimes happens in churches where, you know, it's all show. I'm talking about the power of God working in your individual life. Here's how. You ready? Number one, get your mind out of the way. Say that with me. Get your mind out of the way. Say it again. Get your mind. Where's the battle at in the mind, right? The enemy will bring fears and doubts and unbeliefs to your mind. If you meditate on those kind of things that are in your mind, it'll become you. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All that are in your heart start in the mind. That's why we need to have the Word of God spoken to us constantly, because it gets into our mind. And if we meditate on the Word of God day and night, not on the problem, not on the fear, not on the doubt, not on the unbelief, not on your problem that you need to get delivered from, but on the Word of God, then that will become you, praise God. That's the power. I'm talking about when you take authority over some devil that is trying to torment you in your mind somehow. A lot of people, it might be pornography, it might be gossip, it might be fear, doubt, or unbelief, it might be anything, just the adultery or fornication, or the list can go on and on and on. Your problem is you meditated on what is in your mind that was not lined up with the Word of God. So we've got to get our minds out of the way and start getting the Word of God on the inside of our mind. Our mind should be of Christ Jesus, because He says He gave us His mind. But you cannot have His mind if you don't get into this Word of God and meditate on it day and night, as Joshua says. So in order to receive the power of God, and you've got to get your mind out of the way. Amen. Number two, we've got to start confessing the Word. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing. And you're hearing the Word of God here this morning. But hearing comes from this Word. Not again some man's great message, some wisdom of some man trying to give you their opinion on what you should do and how you should get out of that mess. No, why don't you just get the Word of God on the inside of you? The Word that is yes and amen, because that's where the true power of God is. You're dealing with depression right now. The only way to get over that is speak the Word of God. You're dealing with a broken relationship of some kind. The only way to get out of it is the Word of God, because faith then rises up when you hear yourself speak the Word of God. And that hearing then causes the manifestation to come into your life of whatever you're confessing and believing for. Oh yeah, preacher, that's easy for you to say. No, I've had to do it in my life. When the doctor said I had Crohn's disease, I had to literally get the Word of God on my behalf. Either that, or as I was going to have to receive his factual report that I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. But I didn't do that. No, I got the Word. I said, uh-uh. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Get your hands on me. Now, when I go through a bunch of junk, everybody look at me. Do what I'm fixing to tell you to do. You hear me? You will get a spanking if not. When you're going through a problem, do not put it on Facebook. Amen. You know why? Because there's going to be a lot of doubters and unbelievers out there taking hold of what you just said. And you may have said, oh, please pray for me. I'm going through a hard time in my life with this situation. And you'll have a bunch of fear, doubt, and unbelief. I don't ever tell someone that's not truly in faith to pray for me. I want those powerful people. I want those people like Doris. When you pray for something, you pray. And you screech. Let me get over here. That wasn't you? I got under a speaker, I guess. Sorry, I can't get to y'all no more. I want that power. I want that backing of that word of God. So I had to literally say when they said I had Crohn's, and I had to tell a doctor, I only had 3 years of junior college in Big Spring, Texas. And I'm telling a man that had been to who knows where with 15 years of college experience of medicine or whatever. And I looked at him and I said, uh-uh, I don't receive that. And I'm sure, you know, the thoughts of, he's crazy. He loco in the cabeza. Had to come out of their mouths and in their minds. But I said it again, no, sir. I don't receive that. No, sir. They wheeled me to my room, remember? I said, I called my mom and dad in there, and I said, oh, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Amen. And so mom and dad laid hands on me. I didn't tell anybody. There's a lot of people didn't even know I was going in for surgery, taking out 16 inches of intestine. It was all bad. Inflamed. Little bit of the colon. Said, I'm not living with this any longer. That doctor came in one time and said, you're going to have to take medicine for the rest of your life. Your life will change. It's not curable, but it's manageable. We can manage it. I said, By this time, I had hoses down my throat. Don't receive that. I wanted to get that power behind. Well, I had to get the word of God, though. I had to start finding scriptures. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll. I started finding where Lazarus was raised from the dead by the spoken word of God. I started finding those stories of the woman with the issue of blood that just touched the hem of Jesus' garment. See, she needed that power. Did y'all know that she wasn't even supposed to be outside in that day with a blood problem and all the diseases that would transfer over to everybody and they could catch something? She was mandated by law to stay inside and she didn't do it. You know what she did? I gotta get to him. What are you doing out? It doesn't matter. I gotta get Jesus. And man, she broke through the crowd. She had to probably, as a little small petite lady, she probably was trying to get back. I need Jesus. And man, she got determined to receive that power of God because she had already got the word of God on the inside of her. She needed that power. Boy, determination, man. I've got to get to him. There he is. Well, we have that right here. The Bible says we're two or more are gathered in his name, Jesus, that he's here in the midst of us. You don't have to go to the priest or the preacher. I'm not saying that's not good, but you can go to the power right now. You don't have to be in church. You can receive the power of God right where you're at if you just confess the word. And then let me close with this. Number three. Step aside so God can step in. In other words, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit to demonstrate his power? Because the word of God is true. Why don't you just step aside for a moment? Get your mind out of the way. Get your intellect, I'm not good enough, and all the fears and doubts and unbeliefs out of the way. Get your mind under control in Jesus' name. And start getting the word of God on the inside of it instead of, this won't work. A little girl one time had the faith. Man, she just, you know how childlike faith is. That hadn't been, she hadn't been tampered with. She hadn't heard all the junk that we all hear as we get older. Ah, that don't work. We hear all this junk, and then we've got to cast it out unto the obedience of Christ, right? And again, then, if you don't put something else in it, then here that junk comes back in. So that's why we get into the Bible. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why we come to church. That's why we live this stuff. It's because we need the Word of God. If not, you'll just die. Go to heaven. Thank God for that. But I want to receive the power, not just some mere word of a man. I want the power. If our country is under attack by terrorists, we're going to need the power. And a bomb. Come on, laugh. It's better than that. I mean, this little girl said she had a three-legged dog, and she walked up to my spiritual father, Glenn Smith, raised me up in the Lord, in the ministry. And she said, I want you to pray for this dog. He said, what? What you want to pray about? She's just a little old young girl. This is in Australia. Crowds of people were around. And she said, well, you talked about how Jesus has healed and all those things. I want God to put another leg on my dog. Now, just imagine the fear and doubt coming into Glenn's mind. The devil saying, you're fixing to look silly. He put her off two or three times, and finally she came and says, pray for my dog to receive his fourth leg. I mean, think about it. God created that dog with four legs, and whatever happened, if he created the dog, why couldn't he put a leg on the dog? I'll tell you why, because people don't believe. Oh, come on. How? God couldn't do that. Oh, really? So Glenn, full of doubt, honestly, he was full of doubt, but she wasn't. And he laid hands, and in his mind he's thinking, oh, Jesus, please do this. You're going to make me look so stupid. But you know what? He began to confess the word, Father, you created this dog to have four legs, and he only has one. So in the name that's above every name, we command this leg to grow in Jesus' name. And he's still praying, but yet there's people, 200 or 300 people watching this. I kind of think that's pretty cool because, you know, if it was only him and her, then, you know, people could say, oh, come on, that dog had four legs. But see, all these people that witnessed this knew that dog only had three. And he's praying just the prayer of faith in Jesus' name. And I mean, he's praying and has his hands supposedly on this dog. And all the people start, and started screaming just out of the joy of the Lord. And he finally looks up and sees there's no dog there. And this dog is running around like you've never seen with four legs. I'll never forget, a lady in a wheelchair comes up to me at a service and says, hey, I want to walk. And her legs were tiny, little bitty. Every denomination, like probably here, was in this service. What's happening? This woman wants to walk. A lady over here was pregnant, and there was something wrong with the baby. There was another man on this side that had cancer and was dying, only had like 6 months to live. But the line was, but this lady was on the end in a wheelchair. And I looked at her and I said, what are you doing? She said, I want to walk. And I'm telling you, all denominations had never seen stuff like this. And they started getting up on their chair. Now, I don't know if they thought snakes were coming out or what, but all that goofy stuff that some people do, trying to demonstrate the power of God by letting a snake bite you. Okay, let me go back to some King James vernacular. If thou hast let a snaketh, that is poisoneth, biteth thoueth, and thinking that the power of God will saveth thoueth, thou willeth dieth very fasteth. Okay? And I said, you want to walk? She said, yes, sir. I want to walk. I said, okay. This is what I had to do. I had to step out so that the power could step in. She's sitting in that wheelchair, and I said, okay. And the Spirit of God said, command her legs to wake up in Jesus' name. Y'all remember this? So that's what I did. Leg, and I tapped it. I'll never forget it. Wake up in Jesus' name. The Bible says, speak to the mountain. Command it to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. I spoke to that leg. And then he said, speak to the other leg. I said, leg, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm telling you, they're tiny, and everybody knew this woman. I didn't. I'm just the preacher coming in town, right? I said, wake up in Jesus' name. I'm telling you guys, she's in that wheelchair and she just had the faith. I said, you want to walk? Yes, I do. I'll never forget her saying that. Yes, I do, just like that. That faith, man, she had that faith. I said, well, then get up and walk. Now, honestly, I have to be honest with y'all, right? We're in church. I had a lot of doubt in this mind. I said, oh, Jesus. Come on, I just like Glenn and that dog. When she got up, she started doing this. Well, the doubt came more in my mind because I'm thinking lawsuit now. If she falls, oh, Jesus. I said, walk in Jesus' name, because we got to get her mind out of the way, because the devil would talk us out of that healing that he died for. Jesus died for that healing. So I just said, okay, walk in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, with all those people now, I'm telling you, there were a lot of them standing on their chairs by this time. We've never been to a service like this. Yeah, you know why? Because people don't believe the word of God sometimes. They receive the power, but not the dunamis power. They're just hoping. Please, Lord, please let it happen. No, you got to get that true dunamis power behind your faith, man. That's the word. The word of God. Man, she started walking and people started clapping to the glory of God. She was healed. The woman, the man down here with cancer, he went to the doctor the next day. You know what happened, right? The doctor said, it's a miracle. There's no cancer in your body. Why? Because they tapped into the dunamis power of God. Y'all, that's what I'm saying to this morning. Is we don't need mere men's opinions and words. We need the demonstration of the power of God. So real fast. I'm not even going to look. Anger issues. If you're dealing with anger issues, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with diabetes, with back issues, if you're dealing with broken relationships, people are being attacked in their marriages right now, if you're dealing with those kind of things, what'd you say?
Maria, dying.
Okay. So that was a demonstration that really is for unbelievers. I mean, when the power of God comes and you have a message and talk, you ought to read the Bible. It's a good book, y'all. So does anybody in this place have the interpretation to that tongue? Say it right now. Anybody?
The power of God is open to be received by anybody that wants it.
Say it again.
The power of God is open to be received by anybody that wants it.
Says the Lord.
Says the Lord.
Amen. Okay, because that's the demonstration of the power of God right there. And that freaks out some people. Man, don't you let it. Of course, I was raised a little Southern Baptist. You didn't see that in our church. Jesus. Then I got delivered. Started seeing and experiencing. Oh, wow. There's more than just salvation. Yes. All those things that I just mentioned. High blood pressure. Stomach problems. Doesn't matter what it is. Digestive things. Issues with eyes. I saw glasses, and I mean, whatever the issue with the eyes are. Hang on. And don't mess with the Spirit of God. Stand by just a second. All of those things that people are dealing with, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Go. Faith is, you just stand up. Don't you think about it, stand up. Someone's hurting on the left side. That you make sure you're up, right on the left side, right under a rib. If that's you, get up. In Jesus' name. What else, Lord? People are hurting. Get up if that's you. Someone's having a migraine, so on the left side. You're hurting. If that's you, get up. If you're not already up. You've been dealing with this problem with your head hurting. If that's you, make sure you're up. In Jesus' name. If you're having sinus issues, whatever it is, sinus issues, regardless, make sure you're up in Jesus' name. Now, everybody that's standing, I want you to put your hand over your heart. Just put it right over your heart. Because we're going to get the power of God from our mind to our heart. Because that's where faith is. That's where belief is. Amen? Right here. This is the demonstration power of God. Whatever you're dealing with in any of those situations, I want you to receive it right now in Jesus' name. I can't lay hands on all of you. That's why you have your hand over your heart. I want you to believe. Not for mere men's words. I want you to receive the demonstration of the power of God in your life right now. Now, in your mind, you know the situation. No one else does, probably. Maybe they do. But you know it. It's in your mind right now. If there's any doubt, any fear, any unbelief, get it out. I want nothing but the power of God being demonstrated here. The Word of God, by His stripes you're healed. You have the mind of Christ. You're the head, not the tail. That's why we confess these things. You're above and not beneath. Jesus has the name above every name. So I want you to think of the name that's tormenting you, whatever it is. I want you to put that name in your mind. If it's diabetes, you're thinking of that name, okay? Does everybody understand? All right, now I want you to put Jesus in that mind. Start saying it out of your mouth. We're confessing Jesus. Say it, Jesus. Because now Jesus is in the mind. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Jesus has the name above every name. Okay, so whatever it is, Jesus is above it, right? Jesus is the healer, the protector, the deliverer. Whatever it is, Jesus is above your situation. So, Father, in Jesus' name, get your hand on your heart. We receive everything that we need. Whatever you need, just say, I receive it. In Jesus' mighty name. Say it, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Not in the church's name, not in some man's name, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Say it, Jesus. Fix it, sir. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now say, I receive it. All right, sit down just for a second. Pray this prayer with me, everybody in here. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord. Come into my life, Jesus, and save me. I want to go to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, for being raised from the dead, for forgiving me of every sin. Thank you, Lord, you're my Lord. Thank you, thank you. Say it, thank you, that you're my Lord in Jesus' name. Now, if you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, when I count to three, I want to see your hand. Just head bowed and eyes closed, please. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you never had, you didn't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth, but you just gave your life to Jesus. When I say one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand and say, God, I just prayed that prayer a minute and then put it right back down. I know believers prayed that prayer as well, but if you prayed it for the first time and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you, you've never done that before, but you did it just now by praying that prayer. When I say three, stick your hand straight up and put it right back down. Ready? Boldness in Jesus' name. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Get it up. Don't be afraid. You just prayed that prayer and you meant it. Look at me, everybody. That means that every single person is born again. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. If everybody's born again, then you ought to be receiving that power. And so let's see it demonstrated constantly in your life. When the devil tries to attack you in some area, no matter what it is, get that power behind you. The dunamis power of God in Jesus' name. And every one of you that had your hand on your heart, I want you don't say, well, I hope it works. You say, I'm healed. I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord. That was for me. You receive it and start walking it out in faith. Okay. Sometimes, amen.
I don't need help up these steps no more.
That's right. Amen.
Watch it.
All right, watch it.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Amen.
And it's going to get better than that.
That's right.
It's going to get better than that.
All right, walk
Woo!
Down. Did you all have a good time this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Love you, Lord. All right, stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. God, thank you. I want you to start inviting people to this church. Amen. Start getting your friends there. I know we've got a lot going on. We've got a rodeo that we're getting ready for and sponsorship and all that kind of stuff. I mean, thank God for it. We have the cow drop that we're doing to help us get the kids' church built.